Hey guys, welcome on this week's episode of Real Films. And today we're going to be talking about The Last of Us Season 2, Episode 3. My name is Jason, and I have two guests with me here today.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Kennedy, yeah. And I cut you off.
You're good. I was going to say I like the color yellow. I always do a weird intro to start these.
Well, in last week's episode, Joel died. Pedro Pascal is dead. Mm-hmm. And this episode really dealt with the aftermath of that. And then Sam and Kennedy, you guys have not played the game. Mm-mm. So I just want to leave it open to you guys.
I did play like an hour of the first game and then decided mm-hmm. I'd rather play like Minecraft or something.
Wow. We're going to cut that out.
I never played any of the game. Mm-hmm. And also I'm just a very offline person. So I never knew anything about what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave it to you guys. Just for now, what were your thoughts on this episode, particularly following the events of what happened in the previous episode?
Yeah, I thought this episode is pretty interesting from, like, a character's perspective, because you see what Joel meant to everybody. Mm-hmm. But I did think because of that, this episode was, like, really boring. That's kind of my opinion of it.
I actually really liked it. Because I mean, of course, like, the high action, like, intense episodes are great, too. But I think the show's just so well written that even the parts that are more, like, you know, like, nobody's in danger or anything, but it's just, I think it's just, I don't know, it feels so real. The characters mm-hmm. feel very real. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, so when someone, you know, like, Joel gets killed and they have that meeting, like, it's just a meeting. But to me, I was intrigued the whole time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That town hall meeting you guys are talking about, that never happened in the game. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice to see, like, how they were, like, voting on this decision to, like, send, like, a patrol of, like, what, 16 of their top best
yeah.
to go, you know, avenge Joel.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, that never happened in the game. So it was very interesting to see, like, different perspectives of, like, the people who were, like, in the town. One person was like, Joel meant so much to us, but we shouldn't do this. Let's just forgive and, like, be gone with it. That person that caught me off guard was... forgot his name, but he's the one that called Ellie and Dina a slur
oh, yeah.
at the dance.
Yeah.
I was very surprised he, like, stood up for them and was like, what are we doing here? They killed one of ours. They might do it again. We should go after them. Like, it was almost like a nice, like, little redemption arc to show that, like, him and Ellie have, like, the same perspective on things. And that was never in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the game, all he does was, like, call her a slur at the dance. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much it after that. So it's nice seeing... you know, good character growth from him, at least.
Well, it was nice seeing, like, multiple perspectives of it, too. Because mm-hmm. you get the other guy that was at the town hall that was like, if we go after them, what makes us any different from the raiders
exactly.
that are attacking
yeah.
us? And it's like, it kind of adds to what Kennedy said last week, where it's like, it really is just a cycle of violence, and that's what they're going for mm-hmm. with the show as well.
Yeah.
Is that, like, there needs to be something that cuts it off, otherwise it just keeps going and going and going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, given what I said last time, I think it makes sense that, like, when I was watching this meeting, you know, I think also the sign that it's a good show is, like, every episode you're kind of like, what would I do in that situation?
Yeah.
And I think as the meeting was going on, I think genuinely I would have been someone who's like, we should not do this. I think it's, mm-hmm. I think, like, it's a waste of resources. And then also what his brother, is his brother's name Jesse?
Joel's brother?
Yeah.
Tommy. Yeah, Jesse's the other friend of Dina
yes.
and Ellie.
Yes.
Yeah.
My mind went to Jesse Pinkman.
He would honestly fit really well into the show somewhere.
I could see that. Yeah. Like, at least a character very much like him.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So what Tommy said, it being like, and it's his brother, so mm-hmm. obviously, and what he said to Ellie about, like, if it was about saving his life, mm-hmm. I would go.
Yeah.
But he's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be my biggest thing, too, is I would be like, we're just risking more and more people.
Exactly.
And at this point, like, there's so few of us. Like, it's just about let's retain what we have.
On top of that, too, he has something much more to lose in the game than he did in the in the show than he did in the game.
Yeah.
In the game, he doesn't have a kid.
Yeah, I heard about
yeah.
that.
So him having a child in this definitely raises the stakes for him,
yeah.
you know, not wanting to go and get revenge and stuff. Mm-hmm. But... yeah, that little detail he gave to the Ellie, it was really meaningful how, mm-hmm. you know, they are brothers. They were really like ride or die brothers because they definitely had a history together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting seeing him say that he wouldn't go out and get revenge.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see how that plays out mm-hmm. for like the rest of the show.
Yeah, and with that, it's somewhat still on topic, but with the town hall meeting, I think I expected more tension from it being revealed what everyone voted for a moment. Because I thought you got three people that are on the board that said they would support Ellie with the thing, and you got three yeses. And I thought for sure that someone they didn't know was going to vote yes, and then one of the people they did know that backed them was going to end up saying no, and that was going to be revealed, and it's going to be a big character moment. But we haven't seen that yet, at least.
No, I thought it was very obvious that the three people that did vote, it was Marie, it was Tommy, and Jesse. I thought it was very obvious.
So you do think it was Marie?
Yeah. Even in the 5 minutes after the show, she kind of like hinted that it was her. Mm-hmm. I thought Ellie, her speech, I thought it was very targeted towards her, how she kept bringing on justice, because Marie used to be a lawyer in the show, like before like the apocalypse and stuff. She used to be a lawyer. I thought she was really trying to appeal to her and be like, hey, this isn't about vengeance and trying to like cycle violence type stuff. It's about justice. Obviously, she was definitely lying to herself on that. She didn't care about that. Yeah. She was like, she was just trying to get the patrol going.
And that's why Gail's so good, though. Because then you get Gail later and she's like, yeah, she's a liar. We all saw that. She's a liar.
Especially like the after like the 3 months of bans, she's still in the hospital. Her last step to leave the hospital is to have a meeting with Gail. And yeah, it was pretty obvious. She was like lying to her teeth. Oh, I feel so much better. And Gail's like, oh, if only everyone in this town was as mentally healthy as you. And you see her like walk out with like a smile on her face. And it's like the little details. You can tell her micro facial expressions is going down.
And that's true. I don't especially love Gail. We talked about this a little before the podcast.
Uh-huh.
I just feel like every time she's on screen, there's like a weird amount of tension to be like, what is she going to say that is just, in my opinion, wrong, right? Like, what's something that a therapist should probably never say, and what's she going to say is kind of the way I see her character right now.
I think, like, the biggest thing that she might have said wrong was she probably shouldn't have told Joel that Eugene was her husband. I feel like that was, like, what's, like, the rule?
Well, therapists? I assumed Joel already knew ahead of time that Eugene was her husband.
I thought it was kind of shocked, honestly. He felt shocked that he didn't know. So? Yeah,
I don't know. It was in that one scene. So it could have been. To my reading of this scene, I thought that he knew and that she was just pushing it on him now. Because he was asking for confirmation that he was doing the right thing, right?
Yeah.
And then in that scene, she's like, well, you're an idiot. And so I think with that scene, it became... It became like, I know you killed my husband, and I to my understanding is, you know that you killed my husband. And whether it was the right decision or not, I can't forgive you for that.
Yeah, I think one thing she said, like, during that meeting in episode one, she's like, I know you killed my husband, and it wasn't like that. She wasn't mad because of him killing him, her husband. Yeah. It was the way he did it. We don't know how he did that yet.
Yes, that's fair.
And you said it was on someone's cast it as Eugene. I'm pretty sure there's definitely going to be a flashback to what that's going to be. Yeah. That was not in the game at all.
And
so.
That could be like in season one where the second to last episode followed Ellie and like her time in the Fireflies.
Yeah.
I could see this being like the second to last episode. All of a sudden Joel's back and you find out where he's at in the beginning of the season that you did not get that information for between seasons.
Yeah. And it was pretty, like, because there is, like, a 5-year jump between season one and season two. I bet, like, maybe something happened during that, and they're just not, telling us yet. But, no, I'm glad with the addition they're adding to this game right now. I mean, to the show right now compared to the game. I feel like they're taking, like, what audience had, like, criticisms from the second game, and they're applying it to the show. Yeah.
So, how did this kind of episode play out in the game then? Did it happen at all in the game? Because knowing, like, how games work, it's always about cutting story beats to be as fast as possible while still meaningful, so that way you can get the player into the gaming section of the games. How did this work in the game, if I can ask?
So, there was, like, a little time jump. For this one, it was 3 months. It wasn't really specified in the game at all, but it was pretty much just, like, Ellie recuperating, almost, and then she wants to go get revenge. That was really obvious.
Yeah.
And then, Tina, she's also on board. But the one thing that the show does that the game doesn't is in the game, Dina and Joel do not really have a relationship at all.
Oh.
Yeah. But in the show, it was really obvious that, like, during one of the therapy sessions, Joel was like, Dina is, like, more like my daughter, and she's not even my daughter. Ellie's also not his daughter.
He's not his daughter.
But Yeah, it was nice how they shared that connection. She was also with him when he died in the lodge. In the game, it wasn't her. Tommy was with them. When all that happened, Sam, you didn't know this?
I actually did not
know. Oh, perfect. That. So we can dive a little bit deeper into that. Yeah, so in the game, the attack on Jackson in episode 2 never happened.
Yeah, and I did know that.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't know that Tommy went out with him instead of being Dina or Ellie later on.
Yeah, so in the game, on the patrol, it was Joel and Tommy, and they're the ones that help Abby escape, and they lead her into the... like that lodge cabin, right? Yeah. And then while that's going on, in the show, it was Ellie and Jesse that were on patrol, and they stumble upon like the little weed like farm area. That was actually Dina and Ellie who stumble onto the weed farm, and they also have like a romantic encounter.
Yeah,
in that wasn't shown in the show at all.
In the game, does Dina say that she's not gay? At all, because that was a big thing in this episode. Oh, I thought for sure she was bi.
That's right.
Because they didn't delve into that until this episode. It was like, you're gay and I'm not. Yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't know that.
What I think is going on right now is in the game, I felt like they kind of rushed Tina and Ellie's, you know, romantic tension and relationship. Because in the wheat farm, like in the game where it was Dina and Ellie, but in the show it was Jesse and Ellie, they slept together.
Yeah, like, I heard
right then and there, right? So I feel like the show is trying to like slowly build up their relationship because, you know, if we jump forward to like the tent scene when they already left for Seattle, there was some kind of tension there. And then Dina did say like, hey, I'm not gay, but how would you rate her kiss and stuff like that. And then one thing she did say, which she didn't really do this in the game at all, but she said she was still with Jesse. Like got back together with Jesse.
Oh, did they say that in the show or in the game?
In the show.
I think I missed that line then.
Yeah.
Doesn't that also happen in the tent or just before that?
It happened in the tent, and she said they got back together within that 3 months span while Ellie was in the hospital.
Oh.
Which is a little interesting, like if they were gonna do, you know, the romantic relationship between Dina and Ellie.
Yeah.
Like the way she said it, she's technically still with Jesse almost. Yeah. Which is
But I don't know if that's actually true because, like, she didn't. Because she told Ellie that she was the only one who knew, or the first one to know about any information Dina had about where Joel was, or where the people who killed Joel were.
Yeah, the wolves.
And what were they called?
Wolves.
Yes. Okay. The WLF. Right. Okay. And it also didn't seem like she told Jesse that they were planning on leaving. Because she kind of walks in and is obviously secretive.
Yeah.
And then also the fact that Jesse's on the council now.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's true. I think she's just making it up. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But it definitely seems like it's they kind of built it up in her character. Like she likes attention and she likes to kind of like make some drama and things like that.
And then also like at the very end, right before they're like actually about to fall asleep, she does say, I wasn't that high, you know.
Yeah.
They're definitely
more to the relationship.
Yeah, they're definitely slowly building up to something, and I like that. In the game, it was pretty rushed, so them having more scenes together and building up that chemistry, I feel like that's going to do really good in the long run. I also like how in the show, Dina has more personality. In the game, kind of boring, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, she's definitely way more entertaining in the show. She definitely feels like her own character, and it's not just like following Ellie just because she like cares about her, but no, she actually wants to get vengeance too, cares about Joel. None of that was in the game. So I'm glad they gave her some reason and motivation to actually go with her to Seattle.
Yeah, I think that's a better move too. Because I think it would be weird, like, I don't know. I don't know. Even if I had a really big crush on somebody, I'm not going to leave the safe city that we've built to go by myself. Like, just me and this person across, like, open country to go and...
also to face a bunch of people
vengeance.
With guns.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to do that. But it makes more sense if I also cared about the person that was killed.
I also love, like, I've been seeing a lot of memes these last couple of days. Whenever, like, Dina walks in with the map and is telling Ellie to put boots on and, like, talking about, like, backpack and stuff like that. It's, like, a bunch of Dora memes because she was live-action Dora. So it's, like, what is Dora doing now with all these maps and stuff like that? So I thought that was very cool. What were your guys' thoughts on Bella Ramsey's performance in this episode specifically as Ellie?
I don't know if I have many thoughts about Ellie. She acts very, like, realistic from how I'd expect someone going through that to act. Mm-hmm. And as little as I know about the character,
yeah.
I do think that she plays the character very well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the fact that I have nothing to say speaks volumes as to, yeah. like, she's doing great, because yeah. I don't think of her as anything but Ellie.
Exactly.
I see her and I'm like, oh, that's Ellie.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is where I have an issue with it. I wanted to ask you guys first, because you guys never played the game.
Yeah.
So you have no expectations.
Right.
And I think I wish I had that mindset.
That's what multiple people have yeah. said. Yeah, that they wish they hadn't played the game so they could enjoy the show.
Yeah, because...
It's funny. Sorry, I want to just draw an analogy there. Because I feel the exact same way about the Uncharted movie, actually, which is another Naughty Dog game.
You hate Uncharted.
I hate the Uncharted movie, because it's just not Nathan Drake. Yeah. If I went in just expecting, like, a treasure hunting movie with Tom Holland, mm-hmm. I bet I would have loved that movie, but I went in expecting, like, an Uncharted movie.
Even though it was still kind of mid, though.
Yeah, it was a very stereotypical just treasure hunter movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but Uncharted had... Yeah, I feel I have the same opinions as you.
Sorry. But going back, you have expectations about The Last of Us. Yeah.
We weren't going off topic technically because they're both by Naughty Dog, so it's okay. But no, like, when I'm watching the show, I try my best not to make comparisons. But, like, your mind just does it on purpose. Yeah. You can't control that. The biggest complaint I have, I wouldn't say it's necessarily Bella Ramsey. It's more so the writers and how they wrote her character in this season.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the game, for part two, she's a lot more, like, closed off and silent. Like, edgy, like, teenager, right? Like, young adult type thing.
Yeah.
But so far in the show, she acts exactly how she did in season one.
Mm.
And then, like, part one in the game. Almost like a little childish.
I think there's a little more development there. Like, I think mm-hmm. she's still more adult than she was in season one, but I could see that.
Yeah.
One of my biggest issues, actually, is, like, when you do watch a show, and then, like, just a ton of things happen off-screen between seasons. No. So I like that, at least for us having no expectations, it's the same character that we saw beforehand.
Exactly.
I have this kind of issue. I do love Ted Lasso, which is going so much.
I love Ted Lasso, too. I
love it. But my biggest issue with Ted Lasso is that, like, things happen between seasons and you just kind of have to accept it.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, you come back in season three mm-hmm. and all of a sudden Nate's character is just, like, an arrogant douchebag. And you're just like, the last season he was, like, there was build-up, but it was not to the point that we see it now in season three. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of my big issues with that show mm-hmm. that I think I like about this show is we're seeing the changes happen on screen, not it being put right in our face and we just have to accept it.
No, I completely agree with that. I am also a big fan of Ted Lasso, so I do understand where you're coming from with, like, Nate's arc and stuff like that. And, like, as you can see, like, in this show, since you guys haven't played the game, you can, like, see her progression of her getting older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, why is she still, like, young?
I felt like she matured a lot. Mm-hmm. I think, actually, my unpopular opinion in season one, having not played the game, mm-hmm. was that obviously, like, Ellie is so beloved. Like, that character means so much to so many people.
Yeah.
And when I watched the show, I was like, she's annoying. I was like, she's annoying. She's so, like, obviously, like, you live through the apocalypse, so you're going to be, like, snippy. Like, but it was like, even with people who are, like, trying to help her, mm-hmm. she's not in danger. She's so, like, 0 to 100, so antagonistic, right? Uh-huh. And so I was like, she just seems like so hard to, like, if you're trying to do this trek with this, she seems like hard to work with, you know?
Yeah.
And so in this season, I do actually feel like she's grown up a little bit. I definitely felt that way because I was like, oh, now she seems like more mellowed out.
Which more would, tolerable.
Which would make sense because now she has like a stable, again, like for the apocalypse, like stable place to like live and she's more normal.
With the show, it feels like they're kind of dancing around it, but does she know that Joel killed all the Fireflies? I feel like the answer has to be yes with the way she hates him.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a lot of things that just... It raises the question for me. I feel like the answer has to be yes, but I don't like the way that everyone dances around it in the show.
I'm so glad you brought that up, though, because... We actually haven't, like, talked about that on the show. Because I think it's just, like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, it goes without saying. Like, obviously, she was mad at him way before he actually confessed to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he never told her. But I think, like, she was really young. They were just escaped, like, a really traumatic situation. She has no memory of it. She was asleep. So she kind of took him at his word. But then totally, I think this whole time she's been kind of like, something's weird. Like, I don't understand why I never saw those people. I just blacked out. And then I was here. you seem to be. Like, you lived through a really traumatic event. And so I think she definitely has an idea, but I don't think that she knows for sure. I think a small part of her is holding out hope that, like, he didn't do something like that. Or at least she didn't know the full extent of it.
So. No comment. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything. That's all I'm going to say.
The silence speaks volumes.
But yeah.
This was a while ago.
Yeah.
But with the Eugene thing.
Yes.
It's been kind of like, it's been implied that, like, Joel had to kill him because he got infected or something.
That's what I initially thought too.
But we don't know that. And I was like, because if you're out on a patrol and, like, things go wrong, of course, like, someone gets bit or whatever, mm-hmm. but you would still have, like, a gun on you. So I don't understand why Joel killed someone in such a, like, apparently implied inhumane way.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but what if it was some sort of, like, what if, like, Joel snapped because, like, Eugene somehow found out?
That's a popular theory, actually.
Yeah.
That's what I think, too.
Is it really? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that could be a possibility, because we don't know. Like, Joel could have just said someone was infected, and I don't know.
Yeah, and it's something I can't talk about, because it's never happened in the game, so I don't know. So, yeah, I also think that, too. Yeah. I feel like Eugene found out some way that Ellie's immune.
Yeah.
And was going to tell people.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like happened, too. We don't know, but
yeah,
that's a pretty popular theory.
Well, and maybe that's why, like, so I'm just talking about when she got that bite mark and she had to, like, make it a scar over it to show that it wasn't.
I'm like,
was that because one person found out, so now she's, like, good at hiding that sort of thing? Or is that just because, like, upon arrival, they had to tell her, you can't tell people?
That's good. That's a good theory, actually. Like, on top of that, her original bite mark she covered up with, like, the tattoo and stuff like that. Okay. No, that's actually a good theory, actually. Maybe she learned from her lessons from other people finding out.
Yeah. I actually never thought about that.
Yeah, it's very complicated. I'm not going to say more to that, but I will say, all the doubts you have, it will be answered in some way for the rest of the season. That's all I'll say.
Something I will say that annoyed me a lot more than it should have was when Tommy and is Gail the therapist?
Yes.
Yeah.
When they were just out in the middle of
the baseball game.
Yeah, baseball field. Come on, no.
I thought that was the stupidest thing.
But I love moments like that. I really do. Because I'm like, I know that they're not, like, the most...
I was taken out of it because I was like, you're just in a place where you're going to get hit by a ball. I was sitting there the whole scene. Like, it would be so funny if just out of nowhere someone just got blocked.
I like the scenes like that because it's just, like, more world building. My gosh, like, these kids are being totally raised, like, because some people, like Ellie, were born before the world as we know it. So, like, she didn't know what airplanes
were. They
were
born, like, after the fall of civilization.
Which is just...
kids are born, like, when it's already being rebuilt.
Which is just really interesting to, like, think about.
And I would have been fine with the scene if they were behind the
gates.
They had the gate and they're just in the field.
It's kind of weird because I had a moment like that recently with... me and Caitlin actually went to the zoo recently, like, last week. And I don't know what was happening when we went there, but, like, it was, like, every school in the entire area was doing field trips that day. And I looked at Caitlin and I was like, these kids look like they're, like, 6 years old. I think these are COVID babies. And she was like, like, and it's that realization. And so it's the same thing in this show where, like, some people were, you know, teenagers when COVID happened, you know, and so, like, some of these characters were teenagers when, you know, the infection actually spread. Mm-hmm. And then these other kids were, like, born after that whole thing happened. And so I actually really enjoy those scenes because it's just interesting for me to be like, oh, wow, they still have a way to, like, play baseball.
And, like, the children are growing up, like, how children before everything went down happened. Yeah.
Yes, and, like, they have no idea. This is all they know. Yeah. I think that's just really interesting. That's just something I like to think about when I'm watching. That's why I like these episodes.
Yeah, it definitely shows, like, how the town of Jackson, like, works. I did love the little scene how they're, like, rebuilding the town, like, after it went down. I thought that was really good. There was, like, little moments that showed, like, the relationship that Jesse and Tommy have. Because it's pretty obvious that they're trying to build up, like, Jesse to have, like, a bigger leadership role in the community.
Yes, and I like
he's on the council now.
I like that, too, where, like, it's totally his personality where everybody in the town just kind of, like, knows, like, well, of course, Jesse's going to go for it.
And the line, I think it was Ellie that said it, was, like, everyone knows you're going to run Jackson.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
He reminds me of, like, the Brother Bear character. Like, yeah. I forgot his name, but I the whole time I was watching it, I don't know why, but I could not stop thinking about Brother Bear.
Yeah. No, like, speaking of brothers, I think the most emotional scene for me was Tommy with Joel's body and cleaning it. That was in the beginning. Yeah, that was in the game. I thought that was very emotional.
I did like that. Because then they say, like, say hi to Sarah for me or whatever.
Yeah, that got me. Yeah. That got me a little bit. Yeah.
I really like the visuals right before that scene as well. Because, like, you see the hellscape that is Jackson after that last attack.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
It's just, like, piles of infected.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, whoa. The sky is, like, red with smoke. And, like, I thought that was such a cool cinematographer perspective. Yeah.
No, it's the little moments in these, in the show. And the additions you're slowly making to make it more emotional. Because obviously in the game, you can't have too many moments like that because it revolves around the action of the player.
Yeah.
Player needs something to do for the story to progress. And this one, they can really like take it easy and have episodes like this. Show like, oh, this is the aftermath of all this.
Yeah.
Players need to control what's happening.
If I was a player in this kind of scene, I would be pissed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, give me a gun. I'm going to shoot Abby myself right now.
Yeah. I think... I so far, season two, I like way better than season one.
Yeah?
I really do.
I think I like season one better.
I'm so much more interested.
I think season one just, it moves faster, and I liked that.
That makes sense.
Season one just kind of was going at a somewhat more consistent pace. Where at this one, it feels like you're going slow for a lot of exposition and cool like character buildups.
Yeah.
So I like the character buildup of season two better, but I think I like the general, just overall season one better.
Yeah.
I'm just so much more interested in like the progression of a community instead of like season one is just two people. And season one's still great. But I just, something about season two is so interesting with like, there's so many roles being taken care of and like whatever profession you had before, like somehow it like plays into what you do now in a completely different world.
I actually have a follow up to that. And that brings up the different kinds of communities that are created after, you know, the apocalypse has started. There was a small scene where you're introduced to a group of people.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to also.
People that follow, like, the prophet.
Yeah. They're called Scars.
Scars. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just wondering, what are your thoughts on them, like, as of right now? Like, what do you think?
I just think it's so interesting when the show explores possibilities of like what would happen if in the aftermath, like what different groups of people would like come about.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting that this group is like has a religious component because I'm like, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's based off a person who was like there.
Yes.
Like,
I did like that. And then you get the same religious kind of perspective from season one with that one cult, where it's the same kind of idea of like them being led by a religious group, but also it's a completely opposite direction of like these guys want to kill Ellie and yada yada yada.
Yeah.
And eat her.
Yeah.
The cultists, like the cannibal cultists.
Yeah.
And then you get these people that we don't know a whole lot about, so I don't know if I have a whole lot of to talk about, but I did like the idea of seeing different communities. I don't think the wolves killed them, but we'll see.
I am really confused about that. I had no idea because obviously they were like wolves. So, but I guess my thing is I'm like, my first thought was I'm like, what did these guys do to get the wolves after them?
Yeah,
like if they're just like kind of existing, then I don't think the wolves
would have
killed them.
The wolves are just a branch off of the fireflies, basically. Right?
Yes.
That was my understanding.
In a way. Yeah.
So it did seem weird that it's like these guys are afraid of the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they afraid of the wolves?
Yeah.
Like, it did seem like they probably deserved this, but also, we don't know at all.
I will say one thing, like, the Scars, you know, they're in the game. The wolves also, like, in the game. They definitely explore more, like, after this episode. That'll definitely happen. The one thing I was excited to see is the Scars were not introduced this early, to my understanding, at least. So when I saw them, I was like, wait a second, they're already here? So it was really cool seeing, like, little by little, like, they already, like, talked about the religious aspect, the prophet. Mm-hmm. They already mentioned
the
all that.
The dead.
Yeah. So they already...
I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Also...
And the whistling was so cool. Because, again, little things like that, where I'm like as a group of people, like, what survival things would you learn or, like, just, like, kind of invent as a means of survival in different situations?
I did think that was cool. And I think there's probably more realistic ways of, like... not necessarily whistle, but like you could have an actual whistle, like a steel whistle, and that's probably louder.
No, but it was about the communication.
Yeah, they wanted like little signals.
Yeah, because then you don't, nobody else knows what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
I also like the fact, obviously, that group, they died in this episode. But obviously, we don't know like how they died. It all happened like off screen. Mm-hmm. But when Ellie and Dina get there, they immediately think of Abby's crew who did it. I thought that was a nice touch. It just adds more motivation. They're like,
I did think it was weird that, to my understanding, like Dina probably also saw not quite as much screwed up stuff as Ellie, but some screwed up stuff. And then she comes back and pukes. Are we supposed to understand that she's like a really innocent person in all of this? She is.
Yeah.
Well, and
I
she
was
didn't...
like, you're nodding, but you're not saying it for the podcast.
Oh, well, I was kind of interested about like, so obviously they're going on this whole journey together to get vengeance, and that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But Ellie is more similar to Abby, and Dina also didn't see Joel die. She just
she's unconscious. Yeah.
Went to sleep, and then she just woke up with like knowing he was dead. She didn't see a single thing about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think like when they finally catch up to them, and you know, if and when there's a moment where Ellie like has the opportunity to get what she wants, which is like to kill Abby, I think she's gonna like. I think it makes so much sense for her character to go completely berserk and too far. And Dina, in this case, is the one who has more of a normal, like, she's experienced less trauma.
She's like the baseline almost.
Yes. Like, so she still, like, has a sense of, like, what's right and wrong. Mm-hmm. Whereas Ellie has experienced such horrible cruelty that to her, like, justice, she can go way farther past. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, if Dina sees her do that, who's to say what happens? And yeah, I assume that she's not going to be cool with that.
I do know how the game ends, actually. I've
not
played
anything.
The game, but I do know how the game ends.
Do not say anything. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going off to areas where I can't talk about.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to end the podcast here, honestly. Well, thank you for listening on this week's episode of Real Films with The Last of Us Season 2, Episode 3.
Woo-woo!
Woo-woo! I saw the trailer for next week's episode. I'm excited. Yeah. it looks really fun. And yeah, we'll be back next week. Go Utes!